Thank you very much. Well, first of all, a very warm welcome to all of you. You are finally here at ASCAP, and we are very pleased to be able to open up our house to you. I think I'll come straight to the point, and this is, first of all, I have to tell you that we are expecting a very large participation. We have about 400 participants, about 200 from governments representing about over 40 countries. So most of your countries are here, and also over 200 from NGOs. So we are very pleased with this high level of interest in this meeting, which shows that the flame is still shining, that the cause, I mean, people are still very passionate about it. Coming down to the agenda, I think that's what I'm supposed to speak to you about, the agenda. You all have the agenda in front of you, but just to quickly explain, we had an expert group meeting here in April, and some of you were members of that group. And I, what the experts advised us was that we should really sort of, first of all, focus on the priority issues. And so we did, and to do it by some kind of a clustering, which is why you have these three main clusters: economic empowerment, political empowerment, and a rights approach to empowerment. But that all this, of course, will not be useful if we do not have the strategies to go with it. So it's really at two levels, but they're interconnected. One is at the priority issues level, linked then to the level of how to implement it, the strategies. And all this we hope to integrate into a sort of an integrated framework, that we cannot do this in a fragmented way. It has to be holistic. So within these, this clustered approach then, we have tried to sort of put into these three boxes all the main issues, which in a way I'm glad I came late, because I could learn from the two previous speakers about me. And I think they can fit very nicely. For example, women in armed conflict would probably come under the broad box of the rights approach to empowerment. So there will be, and also if you really look very deeply into it, this is also in line with the CSW framework that they had this year, where they had those four emerging issues or all. So it in a way it fits very nicely into that box of human security and social protection. So we are also thinking long term, you know, because right now my colleagues in New York are also sort of waiting for us to see what comes out of this, because for CSW, I think by this year, they should come up with a framework. So we sort of try to second guess, and in the meantime, carry on with our agenda. But I think things will converge eventually. Just aside, we have with us actually a representative from DOR, UN New York. She's here with a message from Ms. Angela King, which also shows that they are paying a lot of attention to this meeting and the synergy between the regional and the global. Yeah, her name is Ms. Caroline Hannon. She has come as the special advisor on gender mainstreaming, but on this occasion, she is here representing Ms. Angela King. I think what our agenda also shows, though, is a slight change from, let's go back before Beijing to Jakarta. The fact that now we have something called the rights approach as one of the main poles of this meeting shows that that we have come some way since Jakarta, because those of you in Jakarta will recall that the emphasis was a lot on economic empowerment, which is still here, I mean, which is still very important, and that rights was there, but you had to look very hard for it. But here, I think for this session, rights is now rightfully one of the three main pillars. And we are trying, I think from the papers you will see that there's a strong advocacy for rights approach to empowerment. Rights, not looking just in terms of rights for bodily integrity, not that it's not important, but looking at rights across all the items: economic rights, social rights, political rights. Rights as something that will bind together all the different areas. Might be a bit difficult to do, but we have with us Professor Savitri Gunasekara. And if you read her paper, you will see that she advocates that very strongly. Let's use the rights approach to really try to be the overarching theme that binds all these areas together. That aside, though, what we will have is really, let me come down to the agenda item by item. The first item will be overall review. And this is where we have tried to look at where have we come since Beijing. Have we progressed? What are the gaps? What else do we need to do? But Agenda 4 is really a state of the art for countries and for all participants to tell us how they have fared since Beijing. And also we have a background paper on that, which we have tried to cover. We have covered all the 12 critical areas of concern in that paper, which is called the overall review paper. Then under agenda item 4, we expect all countries to make their statements under agenda item 4. Countries will speak for 7 minutes. Now, under this agenda item, although it's normally not done in UN meetings because usually governments have the floor first, we have made the exception of listing of registering, now pre-registering, the Asia-Pacific Watch Group, Dr. Patricia Lee Kwan, who will speak on behalf of the Asia to report on the NGO symposium and all related matters on the very first day, in the afternoon of the first day. So by the afternoon of the first day, the governments will, at least all participants will be able to know what the NGO position is, what are the key points, and I'm sure Patricia will do a good job. But within the 7 minutes, of course, she can't say everything, but we have, of course, there will be, you should be able to distribute her statement, her report, and this is when you can distribute your statements and your report. Then after that, there will be the discussions on the four themes, and that we will take the form of a panel discussion. Those of you who have been at CSW will know that this has been the practice in recent years. So there'll be, the discussion will be led by a few panelists, after which the floor will be open to the participants. And then at the end of all the four sessions, we will have a drafting committee meeting, which will start after the meeting at 7 p.m. and we haven't set an ending date, ending time. So there'll be a drafting committee. And then I will talk more about NGO involvement in that. And then, as with all UN procedures, the next day we will have, after all the translation and all that is done, we will have the adoption of the report the next day on Friday. Okay, so this roughly is the agenda. And then I'm supposed to talk to you about the documents also. As I mentioned just now, you have, under agenda item 4, we have three papers. One is the overall review that's done by the ESCAP Secretariat, which was based on, first of all, questionnaires which were returned by your countries to UNDOR. So you will note that it's very governmental, because we have quoted the government position, and supplemented wherever possible with other information which has been made available to us. We have collected, whenever I visit, we have collected information from different countries, and we have tried to supplement that. But the main source was the questionnaires from the countries. Then there are two supplementary papers under that item. And this is because I must tell you that before we had this big meeting, we convened a meeting here in Bangkok of all the UN agencies and other intergovernmental agencies to ask everybody to support us in writing papers, in preparing substantively for this meeting. And we've been very gratified by the response. So we had the offer of two papers. One was from UNICEF, who did the girl child for us. They had a consultant who specially prepared the paper, which they knew would form part of our overall review. But we thought it was such a good paper that it would be a waste if we did not share it with all of you. So the girl child paper by UNICEF is one of the background papers. Then the other paper is on the media, and this was done for us by ISIS, friend of all of you. So ISIS very kindly contributed that paper. And again, we thought it would be a shame if you did not see the whole paper. So So therefore, we have issued it as a conference paper, as a background document. Now, with regard to the different panels, there will be, under economic empowerment, we have papers from, the documents are from Jayati Ghosh, a very renowned professor from India, who's writing on globalization, economic participation, poverty, funded by the ADB, by the way. And then we have Ms. Jean Ilo from the Philippines, who wrote a paper, again, paid by the funded by the ADB, on the impact of the crisis. And then ILO has very kindly offered to also make a presentation, because they had a very big meeting recently in Manila, at which many, many governments here were present. Government, I think, was tripartite, NGOs. So they have a lot to share with us at their meeting. Ms. Horiuchi herself will make the presentation. Then for the rights-based approach, we have Professor Savitri, who is a CEDAW committee member, and also Vice Chancellor of University of Colombo in Sri Lanka. She will do the paper on a rights-based approach. She has done the paper. It's a very good paper. Of course, all the papers are good, but Professor Savitri's paper, I think, is very illuminating in showing the way towards using a rights-based approach. And she talks very, very strongly about how we must really not use a fragmented approach, but we must adopt the rights-based approach across the board. So the second paper actually is done for us by IOM, the International Organization on Migration. IOM, as you know, deals a lot with trafficking. So although the paper focused on migration, we have asked the regional director here to focus, and it covers a wide range of issues, and it's a very good paper with a lot of information. But she will cover trafficking, and we have also asked her to touch upon violence against migrant workers. Then the third paper comes from the Pacific. This is done for us by FPC, Ms. Emily, known to all of you. She has done this paper because they are now implementing a very big project on violence against women in the Pacific. So Emily has done this paper, but unfortunately she cannot be with us, so she has asked Ms. Gail Nelson from the Forum Secretariat to present her paper. Then under political empowerment of women, we have a paper paid by you, commissioned by UNDP on our behalf, to CAPWIP, which you know is the Center for Politics. So Ms. Linda Miranda will present that paper on political empowerment of women. And there will be a small supplementary presentation, and this is done by the German foundation called Friedrich Ebert Stiftung, FES, which, as some of you know, had a meeting here recently at which they invited many countries from the region. And this was on women in politics in this region. So the Women's Project Manager will give a very brief report on the outcome of that meeting. And of course, last but not least, we have a very, very eminent panel. And this is on strategies for empowerment. We have all the leading lights in this region. We have Lorraine Connor, who will talk about capacity building and gender mainstreaming, the right one for it. UNIFEM is very, very intimately involved in this. And then we have Patricia Likwanan. She's going to talk to us about monitoring and evaluation and accountability. And then Dr. Vanessa Griffin from APDC talks about building partnerships. All three very, very essential topics. All three essential strategies for empowerment. So this is the lineup, which promises to be very interesting, very exciting. Now, but of course, these are all supplemented by the overall review, because the overall review gives a lot of facts and figures. In addition to that, we have also brought out a book of statistics on men and women in our region. So this is a new publication, and this will give all the figures. So I think that's a lot to cover within, actually, essentially it's 3 days. And the schedule will be very tight. That's why all speakers will have a timer right on the podium so that they don't speak too long. And everything will be very, very, the timing will have to be very because a lot of people want to, many people want to speak. Yeah. Okay, so, and then as I said, after the end of that day on Thursday, we'll have a drafting committee meeting. We hope to follow the Jakarta, the example, fine example set in Jakarta, where the drafting committee, which, as you all know, according to UN procedures, the drafting is done by the government, but NGOs will be allowed into the room. And this is with the permission of the chairperson. We will have to ask the chairperson, who, by the way, will be Kuning Supatra Masudev, one of you. Yeah. So, so the drafting committee will then take place at the end of all the sessions, and hopefully we'll come up with a good draft report. Now, on the role of NGOs, I think this is the subject closest to your heart. First of all, as I said, there will be a special time allotted for the statement from NGOs, the consolidated statement. And then thereafter, now, as all of you who are familiar with UN procedures know, it's always governments first, and then intergovernmental organizations, UN agencies, and then NGOs. So NGOs, you probably will have a chance to speak at the end, and it will be for 5 minutes. Now, if you want to speak, if you want, what people do normally is they really limit their speech to 5 minutes, but they circulate their statements. That can be done. You can circulate them, your statements. Then, during the panel, again, those I think at CSW, it will not be by inscription. Now, for the first four, agenda item four, it is by inscription. In other words, your names have to be given, your organizations is by organized, has to be given to the conference secretariat. There'll be somebody sitting in the hall itself, and you give your name to the person. But for the panel, those of you who have been to CSW, I think it's not done by inscription. It will be after the panelists speak, they will hold up their placard, and then we will take it from there. Then, of course, another the biggest, the most important interaction point is when you see the draft report. That's when you intervene. First of all, in two ways. As I said, you will be probably, most probably, be in the meeting room. But many of you are also actually, I see some very familiar names in the government delegation who are also, I have seen them in NGO meetings. So, I mean, this is one opportunity. But so what you have to do is really to see where the gaps are. Have we left out? Is there anything that you want to put in? Yeah. And what wordings are not strong enough? What wordings you want out? And this is when the negotiating process starts. Now, in SCAP, we have always worked on a consensus basis, and Patricia Lekwanen was chairing the former drafting committee, and she's an expert at that. Somehow, you know, everybody agrees on the wording. So we have not had the occasion where we have had to vote or things like that. So we hope to have the spirit of consensus follow through with us all through the meeting. Now, in addition to that, as you know, we have really tried to give NGOs the maximum that we can, maximum cooperation that we can give. And so my colleague Yuki has set up a whole program of NGO room reservations, because we have also asked NGOs whether they want to have site panels while the plenary is going on. Actually, we had suggested lunchtime because we didn't really want the panels to clash with the... Yeah, but some of you applied too late, so you've had to have a time that is outside lunchtime, yeah. But whatever it is, there are many, many activities. Yuki will probably, this will be distributed. Now, just to tell you, first of all, we will not be responsible for the publicity apart from this sheet of paper. So please make sure that this sheet of paper is correct, yeah? Yeah, and then you are responsible. Whoever is organizing it, please, you will be responsible for your own publicity and everything. And then we will make the rooms available for you. All the rooms are marked here. Yeah. So I think that's and well, you've been to CSW panel, I mean, meeting. So this is what we will do. Yeah. So you can paste. You can have your, maybe we'll have a we'll have those boards outside, so you please put your notice there so people know. But I think on the first day on unpaid work, but it's in the dining room and it's not that big, so those of you who want free lunch and a good seminar, UNIFEM is, I think, providing a set lunch, yeah, on their seminar on unpaid work. Yeah, so, you know, there'll be a lot of activities going on. And also there'll be an exhibition downstairs. We've also asked some community groups to come and sell their wares. Yeah, so I think we have to help you to share your DSA. Yeah, so I think all in all we should have a very exciting meeting. But of course we are very, very concerned that what comes out of this meeting. I know all of us have invested a lot of time, energy, effort, money into this whole exercise. And like you, we want something very useful to come out of this meeting. So I think you can help us to shape the agenda. You can help us really to fill the gaps. This is what we are going to look at. What are the gaps in implementation? Are there new things that have come up? I think which is inevitable, as you have rightly identified. Asia has gone through great trauma in these last 5 years, both political and economic. Something that has been a lot of changes. So I think we want to reflect that in the report. But we want the report also to be, I think, a useful piece of work, not just a repeat of the Beijing platform. So in this, I think you really have to help us, because all of you have gone through a long process, I know, at the national level, at the sub-regional level, and you come sort of really fully aware of the issues and where we should go from here. So I think let's work together and you help us. And as I have seen, many of you are also in the government delegation, or if not, you know people in the government delegation. So in a way, I see a synergy. We are really all in this together. So let's make the most of this opportunity. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Thelma. I hope that, and I expect that there would be real collaboration between ASCAP and NGO community.